are so very thankful for these singers who sing so beautifully for our pleasure and for our edification. Praise God. I want to turn this morning to the 17th chapter of Revelation. Revelation 17. And let's just begin reading with verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials or bowls and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I want to continue today with the series we have been studying on the mysteries of God. And this message enlarges on verse 5, Mystery Babylon. I say this morning without reservation or without apology, the Catholic Church is the great whore of verse 1. That is not my opinion. It is confirmed by a list of scriptural facts, and Catholic conduct manifest even in our day. That list begins with the so-called rosary put forth by Catholicism. Before we go into that and expound on that a little bit, let us turn to the second chapter of Revelation and verse 18. Revelation 2:18. And we read, And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. His feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, charity, service, faith, patience, your works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And the point we are making here today is that the church at Thyatira and Babylon the Great are exactly the same. The accusations against them, the judgments against them, are practically identical. You will notice in verse 20 here, Thyatira is accused of calling herself a prophetess. And again, one clear evidence of that is the rosary. That is really given forth, and her followers are absolutely instructed, encouraged, demanded that they go by such things. But it is very clear that the rosary is absolutely contradictory to the scripture. You get that from the very first part, the first phrase of the rosary. Hail Mary, full of grace. You see, Catholicism claims to support Christ and to push him, but they do not. We find out that they give this credit, Hail Mary, full of grace. You can read it in John, we'll not turn there, but John 1:14 says this, And the Word, that is Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's not Mary full of grace, it is Christ. It is Jesus who is full of grace and truth. But you see, Jezebel, the prophetess, prophesies something far different to that and demands that people follow that, that they walk in those things. This is another very important point that you and I need to understand. Many people, I fear, do not. They think you believe on the doom to salvation and you've accepted the grace. Well, you have. But Paul, or John says this in that same first chapter of John, verse 16. Of his fullness have all we received. John was not a novice at this time. He was not a newborn Christian. He was not a babe in Christ. But he puts himself there, of his fullness have all we received. He knew that he had not received the fullness of divine grace. And this is a truth I believe that every one of us must learn and participate in. We must lay hold of divine grace as long as we are in this world. Until we be taken out, we are still of those who are partaking of the fullness of his grace. He says here, of the fullness have all we received, grace for grace, or I love this part, this is the way it should be translated, grace upon grace. You add one grace to another, to another, to another. And the grace of God is absolutely inexhaustible. Catholic teaching robs Christ of his place. And again, they attribute that grace to Mary. I also want to notice, Catholics are taught, they are taught to pray to Mary as the intercessor. Been asked about that, they have been asked about that, and they will tell you, well, it's because that Mary has more influence with Jesus than you would. That is an absolute insult unto Christ himself. Scripture teaches completely different as to the ability and the wonderful interest that Jesus has. We read it in 1 Timothy 2:5. We'll not turn there, but be sure and make a note of this, this reference. For Paul told Timothy, there is one God. There is one mediator. It's not Jesus. It's not Mary. There is one mediator between God and men. It is the man, Christ Jesus. Another note you can add to this particular teaching, to this particular point, insofar as Christ is being our mediator. We'll not turn there. But once again, make a note of it, Hebrews 4:15, it says this, We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Why? It's because he was in all points tempted, or he was tested like as we are, yet without sin. Can't say that of Mary. This is Christ only who was tested in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. This same Jezebel, which calls herself a prophet, also teaches her followers that the priest can forgive sin. Again, the reference. Luke 5:21 says it this way: who can forgive sins but God alone? Even the Pharisees knew that. Psalm 103 adds to that, referring to God, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. And then I want to notice that this same Babylon that we have been discussing, Babylon the Great, verse 6, this same chapter, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Catholicism does not give life, rather death. This woman drunken with the blood of the saints, that's really a reference to the present day killing of the Catholic Church, and especially in the spiritual sense, because only truth can edify and build up and make us grow up into Christ in all things. Catholicism simply does not. The great whore simply does not do that. And so we find out indeed they are guilty of being drunken with the blood of the saints. Furthermore, this same verse 6, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This refers to those who were literally killed closer to the time when Jesus walked this earth. Times such as in the Spanish Inquisition, when men were martyred, they were killed for refusing Catholic demands to follow the ways, the teachings of Catholicism. Now, a good commentary, if you want to read it, it is very, very hard reading. I couldn't read it for any length of time because of the things that are written there. But Fox's Book of Martyrs is a great commentary on these atrocities. He continues here in verse 6, when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. That is, John was just in awe of what he saw here with this woman. But notice a little bit more of the mystery Babylon as we continue in verse 7 of this same chapter. The angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. That beast that he's talking about is portrayed here as a coalition. As we see, you will notice it is actually, though, reduced to one man, which is the Antichrist. Verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names, notice this, were not written in the book of life. They're unsaved from the foundation of the world. When they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. This portion, these words, reveal the fact that the Antichrist will be killed. He will then be raised from the dead. There are some who deny that, but Scripture plainly declares that it will happen, and that false prophet will be given power to raise him up. But he will be killed, he'll be raised from the dead, and when he is, when the Antichrist is raised up from the dead, he will begin his 1260-day reign over the earth. And that will go till the end of the tribulation period. All of this yet future to us today. And yet I can tell you it is right at the door, and God's people need to be aware of the happenings of our world right now. They are not accidental. They have been prophesied, and Scripture is very plain concerning it. He continues here in verse 9 as we read, "Here is the mind which has wisdom. These seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." Now, again, this is a reference to a seven-nation coalition of the end time. But we continue to reinforce the fact that this seven-nation coalition is going to be reduced to only one man. Now, I personally have wondered about that coalition, if it might be the G7. The reason I say that is because it is in close association with money, which will be the item in the end time. Whether that is true or not, it started out as 10, it's reduced to 7. But it will then be reduced to one man. Verse 10, "There are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is, the other is not yet come. When he comes, he must continue a short space." The one that is not yet come and then coming again, that is the Antichrist. Verse 11, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth." But you will notice he is still one of the seven, and he will go into perdition. This coalition will be reduced to two. And then the Antichrist will be the one who prevails once again to rule for 1260 days or 42 months, or time times and a half a time, which is 3.5 years. Verse 12, "The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings." Now, we read here that 10 horns in this place are 10 kings. But the key to that, to these kings, they are not nations. The key to these kings is found in these words: "They have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." I am persuaded that these kings are a reference to a number of terrorist groups which have no kingdom as yet. Now, if you look it up online, there are a great multitude of them. But there are groups of them, and they are against Israel. They are, as we'll find out here in a moment, simply against Christ himself. And so they have no kingdom as yet, but they desperately want one, as we No, this would include the Palestinian groups, and they are determined to drive Israel from the face of the earth, drive them into the sea. They have declared they would do that, and that is because they are, in their mind, they are going to take their land of Israel. That is never going to happen, because Israel is going to dominate the nations after Christ takes his throne and after Israel accepts their Messiah. Now, I want to notice here that from the prophecy of verse 14, which we'll see here in just a moment, these terrorists are actually taking their battle to Christ himself. When you're against Israel, when anyone is against Israel, they are against Christ. Notice verse 14 of this same chapter we have been going over this morning. These shall make war with the Lamb. And you can underline it, the Lamb shall overcome them. Why? Because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This points to the time that Jesus has been anointed and he is going to reign as God for 1,000 years. And notice, they that are with him are here called and chosen and faithful. Verse 15, he said unto me, the waters. I want to notice that we are still identifying who this whore is, who this woman at Thyatira is. He saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. I emphasize today, again, this is not my opinion. This is what the scripture says, and this is what we see prevailing in our world today, right now before us. She's sitting upon peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Babylon the Great is the Catholic Church, because no other religious entity on earth has dominion over every nation in the world. None. She boasts of this status, of course. But I want to notice that that confirmation only confirms that God will judge her, as noted. And we find that he is even going to use these same terrorist groups in order to do that. Notice verse 16. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, shall make her desolate, naked, shall eat her flesh, burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Verse 18. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth again over the kings of the earth. To repeat here, this can apply to none but the Catholic Church. She's the only one that can claim that. It's the only one that is there. I want to emphasize one more point before we go on with this continued explanation of why, the many reasons why, that the Catholic Church is the great whore. One other point that is made in Catholic doctrine is that she demands her followers call the priest father. But God's word says, call no man father, for God is your father. It is in direct contradiction when she advises, when she commands her followers to call the priest father. It is a direct contradiction of Scripture And she does that continually. The Catholic teaching does that continually, as we are continuing to point out. If you would turn now to chapter 18 of Revelation. All of these have been from the 17th chapter, referring to Thyatira, these. Notice God's instruction. This is what I want to again notice here, that these things can only apply to the Catholic Church. And so, as we turn to chapter 18 and verse 1, after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. This mighty angel is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It was he, in verse 2, who cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation. These are the other things, the other accusations, indictments against her. She has become the habitation of devils, demons, the hold of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. All of these are references to satanic teachings, which are contrary to God's word. And it is important for those in today's world who are partial to Catholicism, some perhaps listening to my words today who are members of the Catholic Church, it is important to heed the warning that Jesus, this mighty angel, gives concerning this woman. His instructions are found here in verse 4. Let's read verse 3 just on our way there. All nations. And I repeat, I just want to emphasize this. Catholicism is absolutely the only religious entity that has her presence and dominance in all nations around the world. All nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication. Kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, this is God's instruction, come out of her, my people. You need to come out of this woman, which is known as the Catholic Church. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plague. There are many people in the Catholic Church today. My heart is grieved when watching TV and seeing many of these news anchors on TV, and they are actually boasting and they are proud of the fact that they are Catholic. I hope they do hear these words and understand what this Christ, this mighty angel, is saying to those who are associated with, identified with, taking their place with Catholicism. There are many people, I can't tell you whether any of those are actually believers or not. I don't know. But I don't have any doubt that there are a multitude, I mean a multitude, of people in the Catholic Church who are saved. They have found salvation, and they have found it despite the fact that Catholicism does not teach the new birth, does not teach being born again. And so these people, who indeed are saved, Jesus exhorts, come out of her, my people. Paul, this is God's apostle for this same age, and he has exactly this same counsel. We'll not turn there once again, but be sure and put it down for reference, because Paul is in full agreement with what Jesus says here in this 18th chapter of Revelation. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelief. Some apply that on into the marriage relationship, but that's only part of it. He goes on to say, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? Verse 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Verse 17. Wherefore, that is because of these statements that he has just made, wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And the unclean thing is all of that ungodly doctrine published by Catholicism today, the great whore. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. Verse 18. I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so I am hopeful today that anyone hearing my voice will understand that Catholic teaching, Catholic doctrine, Jezebel, this prophetess, is setting forth things that are absolutely contrary to Christ and his glorious truth. And I continue to emphasize, there is only one way that we grow up into Christ in all things, and that is with the truth of God's word. And so this is what men need to be concentrating on today. Replace all of that ungodly teaching with teaching right out of God's word. One more point. The word of God can be received only by revelation. I don't care how good a teacher may be. I've had some tremendous teachers through my experience over the last number of years, quite a number of years. But only God can reveal truth to us. But he has promised to do that. He has chosen to reveal. He's graciously chosen to reveal these hidden things, these mysteries unto us. All we need to do, step up, take him at his word, and claim those wonderful revelations of truth. And the results will be astounding, because we too will be able to share with him in glory. And I believe you will find that glorious message in John 17. So let us lay hold of the mysteries, the truth that God has revealed, and do not subject ourselves to such error, teachings of Satan as are set forth by Catholic doctrine, who is the great whore. So many proofs of that we have seen, I trust people can see it. Shall we sing?